Well, I have a little message to share with you this evening. Appreciate the opportunity that we have. Sunday nights in particular, I don't know, it feels... I appreciate the Spirit of God that we feel in our Sunday evening services. I suspect you feel the same that I do. It doesn't feel like we are just here because we have to Sunday night and that it's just a service we need to get through, but God's blessings have been here in our Sunday night services. And I just want to say how appreciative I am of that. That comes about because people come with a heart to worship, and the Lord blesses that. I also appreciate being able to look into the verses of the Scripture to find practical application of the Scripture in our life and how it applies to us just day to day. As the saying goes, where the rubber meets the road. And this evening, I'd like to consider a topic that we've talked a little bit about already. Maybe this is an extension. Entitle it Beware of Hasty. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but you get the idea. Beware of Hasty. A few Sundays ago, we considered the story of Ahimaaz. You probably, hopefully remember that, where even though he didn't have the message to deliver, he wanted to run, didn't he? And he was told several times by Joab, no, don't go. You're not the one to run. And he kept saying over and over he wanted to run. So finally, Joab said, run! Fine, go ahead and run. After repeatedly being told not to run. And he did. He ran. And the end of that story was that he ended up getting to the king and then having to stand to the side because he didn't have the message. He got there and he didn't have the message to deliver to the king. And so the king had to tell him, okay, why don't you stand aside. He had more zeal than what he had knowledge is what the story looked like. And at that point, he couldn't undo his run. I don't know if he ever wished that he could have when he was standing there aside waiting and there's the king because he didn't have, he ran in error. But he couldn't undo it. He couldn't hit the rewind button. You ever wish you could hit the rewind button? I do. There's times I wish so much. I wish I had that to do over again. Oh, if I would have only thought about where this might take me, I would do it over again. But in life, there's a lot of decisions that we make. We can try to help ourselves and resharpen the blade maybe a little bit, but we don't have the luxury to go back in time and hit the rewind button and do a lot of do-overs. And so that should give us pause. He didn't have the ability to do that over. And so instead, he has become an example throughout all ages of what not to do. I'm sure that I have a lot of things in my life that would be examples for people of what not to do, but I'd like to make them as few as possible. I'd like to be able to be thoughtful enough in my decision making that I'm not always the example of what not to do. And this evening, I feel impressed to touch on a related area. Last time we talked about pausing in a way that allows for further consideration on what you're preparing to run with. Make sure that it's sound. both in content, in presentation, in timing, in appropriateness. And this evening, I'd like to think about not being hasty in decision making, particularly where it has to do with making significant course changes in life. And sometimes I know that the young people feel picked on because the preacher gets up, the teacher gets up, and they say, now to the young people. The young people are probably sitting there and saying, well, what about the old people? Looks like you all have plenty of opportunity for improvement too. And we do. Sometimes we sit back there and think, well, if we'd get our house in order, it'd make it a whole lot easier for the young people to know how to follow. The reason I'm specifically thinking of young people today is because when you're at some of those critical stages of life, you are getting ready to make decisions that is going to affect the whole course of your life sometimes. Where you live, who you get married to, what you decide to do with what you've been taught throughout the formative years of life while you've been at home. And now you're getting to that place where, getting time where maybe you're going to get out on your own and you're going to have some decisions to decide, am I going to stay that course or am I going to rotate over here and do something completely different? And so my burden this evening is that we beware of hasty, if I could say it that way, in making decisions that have to do with making significant course changes in life or significant decisions that have potential significant consequences in life. And that touches all of us. That doesn't just touch the young people. So that's my burden this evening, and I'd like your help throughout the course of this. Let's first define hasty. So y'all help me out. This is Sunday evening. This is a group session. What does hasty mean to you? And I'll start writing.
Speed.
Hasty denotes speed. What else?
Quick.
Hasty. Quick. Say again?
Same thing she said, no thought.
Oh, no thought. No thought. No thought, or not enough thought. And y'all, if I misspell a word, it's fine to speak up. No thought. What else? Rapid.
Unprepared.
Say again?
Unprepared.
Rushed? What else comes to your mind? Anything?
Impatient.
Oh, impatient. There's a good one. Impatient. Impatient. You know, when you get your eyes right by the board, sometimes it's hard. It's a good excuse anyway. What else? Does that capture it? So far we have defined hasty as, you think about speed, quick, no thought, not enough thought, rapid, unprepared, haphazard, rushed, impatient. Like that captures everything I had thought about as well. Did you know that there are people who live their lives in a way that after some time of continuing to do the same sort of behavior over and over, these words start to define those people? You say, well, that person right there, just they don't give much thought to the decisions that they make. Seems like they're not
They're unprepared for what they face, and unnecessarily. They're impatient with what's in front of them, so they just jump. They're rushed. When they make decisions, they're haphazard about it. They're rapid in everything that they do. Quick, speedy.
And usually it doesn't end very well. Sometimes it does. But a lot of times, if this is what defines how you live, you're going to run into trouble. This sort of thing right here, when you apply it to life, particularly when you are facing a course change in life. You're getting ready to make a decision. We're not talking about whether you're going to have black walnut ice cream or peanut butter chocolate and you made a hurried decision. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about significant course changes in life. Things in life that if you do this, you are asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble if you allow these things to define your approach to who you're going to get married to. If you allow these things to define what you are going to do with the long-held beliefs that you have been taught and practices in your home that have helped many, many a soul get to heaven. And you're going to approach those things as soon as you have opportunity. Well, I don't think I need that. That doesn't apply to me. And you're ready to shift that off to the side and go your own way. You're probably going to get in trouble somewhere down the road. If this is the approach you take to getting into debt and deciding that you can afford something you probably really can't afford, and the bank tells you, or whoever wants to sell you, well, you know, they start out like this. Well, how much can you afford each month? What kind of payments would you be comfortable each month? That's a danger sign right away. What, are you going to stretch that out for 10 years, put a really high interest rate on it, and then make you feel like you can afford it and trap you with that debt from now until who knows when? Well, if you don't stop and think about what the total amount is you're getting ready to pay for whatever it is, because this was your approach, you're going to get into trouble. Where you live? Well, I think I'm just going to move. Well, where are you going to move to? Is it going to be a place that will help you with the only thing that's going to matter in the end in your life? Or is it going to hinder you? There's a lot of things like that we should give consideration to. So I'd like to go ahead and consider some scripture, and I'll try not to be too long tonight. Let's get two from the Old Testament and two from the New, and y'all help me out. Somebody get Proverbs 21:5. Who has Proverbs 21:5? Anyone claim that one? Raise your hand and we'll move to the next. All right. Jared's got Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 18:17. Who has that one? Volunteer for Proverbs 18:17. Brother Bob, okay. Two more. Acts 19:36. Somebody has your Bible. Acts 19:36. We have a volunteer for that one. Okay. One more. Ephesians 4:14. Want to set just a little bit of foundation. Ephesians 4:14. Anybody? You got that one. Okay. Let's go to Proverbs 21:5. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on these. I want you to just start to get a flavor of what the scriptures teach us. And there's a lot more scriptures than this. Two of them in the Old Testament still applies, old and new. Proverbs 21:5. What does that one say?
The thoughts of a diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want.
The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Did y'all catch that? You're not going to be diligent, and you want to be hasty, and that's the way you want to think about major decisions that you make in life. Way back when, the writer of Proverbs recognized that results in want. That results in a lack. But if you are diligent, if you do give attention to your thoughts, to your thought process, to your decision-making process, then the outcome many times is different. Okay, Proverbs 18:17.
He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him.
Have you ever noticed that we as a people are pretty practiced at providing reasons to justify whatever it is we want to do? We can get pretty good at that, particularly if maybe it's a little bit of a sensitive area and we're getting ready to make a course change somewhere. We can be very practiced at presenting all kinds of reasons. We always have reasons for everything. We've got lots of reasons to justify whatever it is we want to do, until somebody that is unbiased, this scripture referred to it as his neighbor, comes along and searches it out. Now somebody who's not biased with what you want to do, but is just going to look at it on its merits, they come along and search it out, and once they search it out, then all of a sudden it doesn't seem maybe quite as straightforward as what you thought it was, or what you wanted it to be. Okay, Acts 19:36. And we didn't read what led up to this, but before this was said, there was some things that were reminded to these people that couldn't be gainsaid. I mean, it was fact. It was the truth. And so the response to them was, look, seeing that these things right here can't be spoken against, it's the truth. It's the facts. You all know that it's the fact. So because of that, you ought to be quiet and be careful and not do anything too rashly about this, because if you do, you're going to be doing it in the face of or against, contrary to the facts. And why is it sometimes that in the face of established fact, in the multitude of witnesses, where people that have been down the road already, and person after person after person says, if you go down that road, this is what happens, and it's not a very good thing. You want to probably try to avoid that road, because we've been there. And here's the scars to show it. Here's the pictures to show what that road looks like. Here's what has happened. And pretty soon you have a multitude of witnesses and the facts that say this, and yet when we want something really bad, we're ready to speak things out contrary to that. And because we want to do what we want to do. And this scripture said, you ought to be quiet. Give it some consideration and don't do anything too rashly. Before you jump, you got the facts against you. You don't have them for you. All right, Ephesians 4:14.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Folks, let's not be quick to be moved by every great idea that comes along that entices us. There are a lot of motivational speakers. There are a lot of very influential speakers that you can go out. A lot of them have podcasts. You can go out and listen to them. And they can be very convincing in what they say. And if you're not really careful, you can get carried away with the person and with the good sounding thing that they say, particularly if it matches up with what you want to do. And jump right off into it without being very measured in your thought process on whether or not that's a wise thing to do. And then sometimes the same people that will be quickly influenced by this person over here that's just gathering all kinds of following are the same people that somebody else comes along and has another idea, and pretty soon they're on that idea. And then somebody else comes along and then, well, that sounds really good too. And we can do that spiritually. But there's also practical application for this in our life. And the writer here said, let's not be like children. Young children don't typically think about second and third order consequences. If you put an ice cream cone in front of them, normally what all they think about is how that's going to taste, and they want it. They're not thinking about what time it is at night. They're not thinking about if they just had an ice cream cone 15 minutes ago. It's the here and now. It's what looks good right now. And then 30 minutes later, somebody else comes along with something else, and it looks good, and then they jump to that. It's not a mature way to think. And so Paul said, let's not be like children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. Let's not be deceived by that, but let's be thoughtful. And so tonight I want to encourage us that we would wait on the Lord and diligently pursue understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit. When we're thinking about some of these major decisions in life, how you're going to conduct your life, what your lifestyle is going to be like, where are you going to live, how you want to present yourself to the world, what things you want to invest in. These are things that if you're not careful can turn your life upside down if you jump into these things too quickly. And we live in a time where it seems like that we're encouraged more and more to just move out and do whatever seems good for you. Oh, if that seems good to you, you want that? Well, go get it. And the faster the better. You know, it seems like speed a lot of times is looked at as a positive. Right? If my computer was only faster, that'd be a good thing. If my phone was faster, that'd be a good thing. If my microwave would heat that up faster, I wouldn't have to wait so long. If my air conditioner could cool the house down faster, that would be a way better situation. And we could go on and on and on with examples where faster is better a lot of times. And if we're not careful, that influence that's out there, because things are becoming faster, things are becoming more efficient. You want to know something? You can figure it out really quick. You don't have to go to the encyclopedia and go to the library and try to find out. I mean, in seconds, it's like right there in front of you. And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in a place in life where we let that influence begin to influence us in how we make decisions in things that really ought to be given thoughtful and careful consideration. And that's the essence of my burden tonight, is that in those major things in life, beware of hasty. It can get us in trouble. And so I want to provide some general, simple instruction of things that will help us in the decision-making process, when we're facing weighty and important decisions, some things and attributes to consider and take on. And the first one is, that I want to make mention of, is hold course. Hold the course. Hold the course in those places that you already know is safe. In other words, sometimes we can get carried away with wanting to make change, and we have maybe some questions about, is it completely, totally necessary with the practices that I have right now in life? The current course of life, is all of this really necessary? And when we're young and we're making decisions as to where we're going to go in life, and we see that the front door of our house is going to be open pretty quick for me to be able to walk through and be on my own one of these days pretty quick. And then we look in our own house and we say, you know, I don't know that all this stuff right here is necessary. I've got some ideas of my own, and I've never really understood this specific thing right here. And if you're not really careful, the tendency can be to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you're going to do it on your own. You're going to go out that front door and you're going to find out and do what you want to do when it hasn't been very well thought out. And you can get into trouble doing that. And so my counsel is, and the instruction of the Scriptures support, that if you're not real sure, you're not real clear on what you're getting ready to jump into, what all is in that water. And the water is not real clear. You know you want to jump into it because you don't maybe like what's over here. Hold the course when you're not sure before making a significant change in life. And I'm not talking about, you know, if you're stealing, the Scripture says, steal no more. It's one reason why I didn't say beware of haste. Sometimes it's, Jesus told Zacchaeus, make haste and come down because I'm going to your house today. We need to do something right now. Let's do it quick. If you're stealing, steal no more. And you don't need to wait on the Lord to tell you whether or not you should stop stealing. That's already been established. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about significant course changes in your life that you're contemplating, and the way is a little unclear out there. All you know is that you don't really care for what you're doing right now. And what this says is, before you jump out there, hold the course in those areas that you know are safe. Is it too safe? Is there too many factors of safety that are embedded in what you're uncomfortable with? Maybe. But give yourself some time to figure that out. Hold the course in safe areas before you jump into the deep end. Number two, try your spirit. And I'm going to put three, although it's a subset of two, and that is, be very honest. With yourself and with God. If you're getting ready to make a big change in life, you will do yourself a favor by trying your spirit and asking yourself, why am I doing this? What is motivating this? Is this spirit of God? I mean, this decision of God? Is it supported by Scripture? Will the Lord be pleased with whatever it is that I'm getting ready to do? This course change that's significant, that has consequences for the rest of my life. What is motivating it? And try it. Try means it's more than just surface. It gets past what you want to do. It gets to the core of really truly understanding the facts behind why you are wanting to do what you're wanting to do. Because it can be really revealing. And the answer isn't always convenient. And it's not always easy to digest. Because sometimes we have to come face to face with ourselves, and it's not always a pretty picture. Because sometimes we realize that really what's motivating me is not consistent with what the Lord might be pleased with. And that's why it's so important to be really honest with ourselves and with God. It isn't gonna help you at all to be dishonest with yourself. If you know, when you start to try your spirit, and say you honestly going to try it, your spirit, really you want to know what is motivating me. And as you start to do that, you start to get into an area where it starts making you uncomfortable because you don't like where the answer's going. And then you know what we do when we don't like where the answer's going and we don't want to change course? We start finding all these other reasons and we stop being brutally honest with ourselves about where this is going because we want to do what we want to do. But decisions have consequences. And it's a whole lot better to be honest with ourselves now and with God than to find ourselves in the ditch with a broken arm and a broken leg, or worse yet, a life that has been turned upside down and it could have been avoided had we been really honest with ourselves and with God. Be open to challenge and counsel. I know you probably can't read that. Do you know when we really want to do something really bad, we really don't, we're really not interested in anybody telling us anything except agreeing with whatever it is we want to do. Have you ever noticed that? When you really want to do something really bad, you really don't want anybody telling you that the road you're getting ready to go down is not a good road. And here are the reasons why. And people, they don't want to hear the challenge. They're not really interested in the counsel because it's contrary to what they want to do. And so the encouragement tonight is be open to challenge and counsel. It's your friend. It's not your enemy. It's your friend. It will help you. And lastly, we're almost done. Take baby steps. If you decide that this significant course change that I believe I want to take in life, I'm going to change my occupation to something completely different. I'm going to move off over here. I want to marry this person. I'm going to cast aside the practices that my godly parents have taught me in the home growing up because I don't really think it's necessary. And I'm going to cast my lot over here. Those are the sorts of significant changes I'm talking about. If those are the things that you believe you're being led to do, do yourself a favor and don't jump into the deep end immediately. Do yourself a favor if you believe that it's right and you believe that God is leading you, but there's still maybe a little bit of uncertainty. Take some little steps and allow the Lord to continue to open or close doors for you so that you give Him a chance to deal with your heart so that you're not hasty and take on these attributes with significant course changes where there are big leaps into the deep end when you could have taken some baby steps towards the deep end and you could have recovered if all of a sudden you realize there's stuff in this water. I had no idea that stuff was under the surface. And now it's starting to bite at my feet and my legs, and I'm getting in there, and I'm very uncomfortable with it. Back out before it takes your life. This will give you a chance to do that. And this will give you a chance to do these things in sufficient measure to help get you to a good place. So this message has practical application for us at home, at church, in the workplace, in our lives. And I want personally to approach life with a greater desire to seek to understand more about, to have increased understanding than I am to justify my current position or what it is that I want to do. I want to slow down a little bit and give the Lord a chance to deal with me and help lead me in the right way. We read a couple Sundays ago in Lamentations 3 and 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Yes, let's have energy. Let's have enthusiasm. Let's have a desire for positive change to come as quickly as possible. But let's learn the value of slowing down enough to make space for godly and thoughtful decisions to guide us in life. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.